Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. I'm always ready to dig into some interesting research.
Well, today we're taking a look at the world of produce home delivery. It's something that's just exploded in the past few years.
Yeah, it's really taken off, and we've got some great sources to help us unpack it all.
We've got industry reports, market analysis, and even a case study of this company right here in Charleston Rainbow Packaging.
Oh, yeah, they're doing some really innovative stuff in this space. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, getting into all this research really opened my eyes to just how much this whole market has changed and is changing,
It's fascinating to see how it reflects like bigger changes in how we think about food and convenience and everything.
Totally. And it wasn't that long ago that like ordering groceries online felt kind of weird.
Yeah, it did. Like you were admitting you couldn't handle a simple grocery run or something.
But now the numbers tell a totally different story. I mean, over half of U.S. adults have ordered groceries online at least once.
Yeah, that's a huge shift. And it's not just a pandemic blip either. Experts are predicting online grocery will make up 20% of all grocery sales by like the middle of the decade.
Wow, 20%. That's huge.
Right. So the question is, why is this change sticking? It's
Yeah.
got to be more than just convenience, right?
Definitely. One thing that jumped out at me from the research was this like crazy emphasis on freshness.
Oh, yeah, totally. People are obsessed with it now.
I get it, there's just nothing better than biting into a perfectly ripe peach that was just picked a couple days ago.
You're telling me, and it's not just about the taste. Our sources suggest there's this growing awareness of how freshness connects to like nutritional value and even how long produce
I've
lasts.
definitely noticed that the stuff from the farmers market just seems to last so much longer.
Right, and people are realizing that the produce from these specialized delivery services is often just a few days old.
Compared to what, like over a week old in traditional grocery store?
Yeah, sometimes even longer, so it's a big difference.
Okay, that makes sense. But honestly, sometimes convenience just wins out for me,
Sure.
especially with my schedule.
Of course.
So is it bad that a big part of the appeal for me is just like skipping that whole grocery store ordeal?
Not at all. Convenience is a huge factor for a lot of people, especially busy families.
Okay, good, because sometimes I feel a little guilty about it.
No need to feel guilty, but even with convenience, it seems like people are getting more discerning about their produce.
You mean like they're not willing to sacrifice quality just for the sake of convenience?
Exactly. They want high quality, fresh produce that aligns with their values too.
So convenience is kind of like the gateway, but then other factors keep people coming back.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you there.
Our research really highlighted this idea of values-driven choices.
Values-driven choices.
Yeah, like people wanting to support local farms reduce food waste. Actually knowing where their food comes from.
I can definitely relate to that there's something satisfying about knowing that your food dollars are going towards something you believe in.
Absolutely. It's like voting with your wallet, right?
Totally. But okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room here.
Uh-oh, what's that?
We've got these giant companies like Amazon and Walmart kind of dominating the online grocery space.
Yeah, they're definitely major players.
So how do smaller players like this Rainbow Packaging even stand a chance?
It's a good question. It's like a David and Goliath situation for sure.
It really is. And actually, Walmart's become the number one online grocery retailer in the U.S.
They've got the resources, the technology, the nationwide reach. It's hard to compete with that.
So how is there even space for anyone else?
Well, what's interesting is that there's still room for smaller, more specialized services to thrive.
Like Rainbow.
Exactly. And Rainbow Packaging is a great example of that.
Okay, so how are they doing it?
Yeah.
What's their secret weapon?
Well, one thing that really stood out in their case study was this focus on being hyperlocal.
Hyperlocal.
Yeah, they source their produce from farms that are just a few miles away.
Oh, wow. So that means it spends way less time in transit and more time like retaining its flavor and nutrients.
Exactly. And that's something the big guys just can't replicate on a national scale.
So they're bringing that farmers market experience right to people's doorsteps.
Exactly.
I love that, but doesn't that make it harder to compete on price?
You'd think so,
Yeah.
right? But they've actually found a way to offer their produce at prices that are comparable to supermarkets.
Really?
And get this, they don't even charge a delivery fee in the Charleston area.
Wait, seriously, no delivery fee? How is that even possible?
I know, right? It's almost unheard of.
Like, I'm constantly getting hit with those fees on other apps.
Yeah, those fees can really add up.
So, isn't that a risky move for a small company? How can they afford to do that?
That's the million-dollar question. It really gets to the heart of the profitability puzzle in this whole industry.
So even the big companies are struggling to make online grocery as profitable as in-store sales.
Yeah, even they're having a tough time with it.
Okay, so yeah. Let's unpack that. Why is that last mile of delivery such a challenge?
Well, think about all the costs involved. You've got labor costs for drivers, fuel costs, vehicle maintenance.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Then you've got the technology for route optimization and, of course, the packaging to keep everything fresh.
Yeah, it all adds up.
It really does.
So how are companies dealing with this? Are they just like accepting razor-thin margins, or are there other strategies at play?
Well, we actually came across a really interesting example in our research. These companies, Misfits Market and Imperfect Foods.
I've heard of those.
Both of them saw huge growth, but they really struggled with profitability.
Hmm. Interesting.
And they actually ended up merging to try and achieve the scale they needed to make the numbers work.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
You need that growth to stay competitive, but then the costs of that growth can eat into your profits.
Exactly. It highlights the delicate balancing act that every company in this space is facing.
So it sounds like scale is really key in this whole thing, but how does that even work for a company like Rainbow Packaging?
Right. They're operating in a much smaller market like Charleston.
Exactly. So are they just like squeezing every penny they can out of their operations?
Well, they've definitely embraced a pretty lean operating model.
Like, what does that actually look like?
A small team, really efficient use of technology, even fuel-efficient vehicles for their deliveries.
Smart.
But it's more than just cutting costs. It seems like they've really tapped into something special when it comes to customer relationships.
You know, I have heard people rave about their customer service, but what does that actually look like?
I mean, is it really that different from just ordering through a big company?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. They've turned their local focus into like a competitive advantage.
Okay.
They know their customers by name. They chat with them. They'll even carry boxes inside for like elderly folks.
Wow.
It's like a throwback to the days of the friendly neighborhood grocer, you know?
Yeah.
But with the modern tech-enabled twist.
It's funny you mentioned a throwback because in a way, Rainbow is doing something so innovative.
Yeah.
By like going back to these core values of community and personalized service.
Totally. It seems like they're finding a way to compete not just on price or convenience, but on something much deeper.
Yeah, like a sense of connection.
Exactly.
That's really cool. And they're not just stopping at produce boxes either.
Oh, no. They've actually become a delivery network for other local food businesses, too.
Wait, really?
Yeah, think like artisan breads, locally roasted coffee, small batch kombucha, you know, all delivered alongside your fresh produce.
Hold on. That's brilliant.
Right.
They're creating this like hyper-local food ecosystem, all powered by their own delivery infrastructure.
Exactly. It's like, oh, absolutely. The more local businesses they partner with, the more efficient their delivery routes become.
Right. And the more value they can offer to their customers.
Exactly. So they're not just competing with the big guys. They're creating something entirely different.
It's almost like a cooperative model, but for the 21st century.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating case study.
It really is.
And it challenges some of the assumptions about what it takes to succeed in this market, you know?
Like what?
It's not just about scale and technology. It's about understanding the needs of your community.
And building a business that reflects those values.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've seen how this whole produce home delivery market has just exploded, why people are choosing it, what it takes to win in this crazy competitive landscape.
And we've seen a pretty incredible example of this in Rainbow Packaging.
A small company with a big vision, you know, adapting and innovating to carve out their own space.
It's really inspiring, isn't it?
It is. It shows that even in a market dominated by these giants, there's still room for innovation, passion, and a genuine commitment to serving the community.
100%.
It really does make you think, so what does all this mean for our listeners? You know?
Yeah, what should they take away from all of this?
Next time you're scrolling through those grocery apps or debating a trip to the store, think about what you value most.
Is it convenience?
Quality?
Supporting local?
Discovering new things?
Or maybe it's like a combination of all of those.
Yeah, and remember, you don't have to choose just one thing. You can use a mix of services to meet your needs.
Right, like maybe you use a big box service for those bulky pantry staples, but then treat yourself to a locally sourced produce box.
For those special ingredients, for those farm fresh eggs, you know.
Exactly. It's all about finding the right balance for you.
You know, as much as we've been talking about Rainbow's successes, we do have to acknowledge the challenges they face.
Oh, for sure. It can't be easy running a business in such a competitive market.
And one of the biggest challenges for the entire industry, including Rainbow, is figuring out that profitability piece.
Yeah, we talked about how expensive that last mile delivery is.
And for a company like Rainbow that's built its reputation on offering free delivery,
mm-hmm.
that has to be a constant pressure point.
Oh, absolutely.
So how are they doing it? Is their lean operating model enough to keep them afloat?
Or are they banking on future growth to eventually make the numbers work?
That's the question.
Well, it's hard to say for sure without seeing their financials, you know?
Right.
But what's interesting is that their decision to become a delivery network for other local food businesses could actually be a really smart move from a profitability standpoint.
It seems counterintuitive almost. You know, adding more complexity to try and improve profitability.
Right. But it kind of makes sense if you think about it like a ride-sharing service, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean.
The more riders you have, the more efficient those routes become.
Right. So it's about maximizing what they're already doing.
Exactly. Maximizing the use of their existing infrastructure. Each delivery van becomes like a mini distribution hub.
For multiple businesses.
Yeah.
And by expanding their network, they're not just increasing delivery volume.
They're also creating a more diverse revenue stream.
Which is probably key in a market that can be as unpredictable as food delivery.
Oh, absolutely.
But it still makes me wonder, is it enough?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how even companies with massive scale are struggling with those razor-thin margins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how does Rainbow avoid that same fate?
It's a valid concern, and there's no guarantee that their model will be immune to those pressures, you know?
Of course.
But what's exciting is that they're not just passively accepting the status quo.
They're out there experimenting, innovating,
yeah.
trying to find a way to make this work.
Not just for themselves, but for the whole community.
It's like they're conducting a real-time experiment in sustainable local food systems.
It really is, and I have to say I'm rooting for them.
Me too. Their story is really inspiring. It's a testament to the power of entrepreneurship and a reminder that even in a market dominated by these huge companies, there's always room for creative solutions.
And a commitment to doing things differently.
And speaking of doing things differently, one thing that keeps coming back to me is this whole no delivery fee model.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
I mean, as a consumer, I love it. But from a business perspective, it seems almost radical.
It is a bold move, especially when you consider that delivery fees are one of the biggest barriers to online grocery adoption.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. For a lot of people, those fees just tip the scales back in favor of going to the store.
It's that extra little hurdle.
Exactly. So by getting rid of that friction point, Rainbow's not just attracting customers, they're making a statement.
A statement about their values.
Exactly.
It's like they're saying, we believe that access to fresh local food shouldn't come at a premium.
Which is pretty admirable.
It really is.
Yeah.
But I can't help but wonder, how long can they realistically sustain that?
Right. At some point, don't they have to raise prices or start charging those fees to keep up with rising costs?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It's the million-dollar question, and there's no easy answer. It'll be really interesting to see how they navigate this as they grow.
Will they need to adjust their model, or can they find a way to maintain that commitment to affordability while also, you know, making sure the business stays healthy?
It's a tough balance.
It really is. It's like we've stumbled upon this fascinating microcosm of the larger trends shaping the future of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like on one hand, you've got these massive corporations
leveraging technology and scale to optimize everything.
And then on the other, you've got these companies like Rainbow prioritizing community sustainability and values.
So what does the future hold for both of these approaches?
Yeah. Will they continue to coexist or will one eventually win out?
It's a good question.
It is. And maybe, just maybe, by supporting those businesses that align with our values, we can help shape the future of food.
In a way that benefits everyone.
Exactly. Both people and the planet.
That's a powerful thought, and it brings us back to that question we asked earlier.
What would it take for a local company like Rainbow to stand out in your area?
What unique value proposition would make you choose them over a giant rail, like Amazon or Walmart?
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about finding the cheapest or most convenient option.
It's about making conscious choices that actually reflect what we believe in.
Well said.
Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of produce home delivery.
We've explored the trends, the challenges, the opportunities.
And we've discovered a really inspiring story in Rainbow Packaging.
Hopefully this has given you some food for thought, both literally and figuratively.
Thanks for joining us on another deep dive. We'll see you next time.